It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Would anyone like to express that further?
God, buddy, I know. Thank you, Jesus.
I think sometimes it's hard for us to understand how personal our relationship with Him is to Him. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, we think a lot about ourselves and how His relationship with us affects us, which is amazing and magical. But today as we were worshiping, I was reflecting on that word that the Archbishop has given us about from the Song of Solomon. How many, many things do you remember from those teachings? But one of the things that stands out to me today is that if we but turn our attention to Him, it makes His heart beat faster. Mm-hmm. This morning, I just want you to know that I felt the fast heartbeat of the Lord as you were worshiping. And know that He loves that. And it impacts Him in a deep and most personal way. There's no way it couldn't. So rejoice and celebrate that the heartbeat of the Lord is faster because of your worship this morning.
That last little lyric we were singing just now, feel His heartbeat, echo on what you just said, Father Don. If you remember images of the Last Supper that you've seen, and the disciple leaning his head on Jesus' chest, that's John the beloved disciple. And what the Lord is saying, I believe, is that you are all the beloved disciple to the Lord. You're not sitting at the edge of the table. You're not sitting in a chair by the door in the room. We are all the beloved disciple of the Lord, resting our head on the chest of our Creator, because that's the personalness of the relationship that we have with Him. And if we just accept that and agree with that and believe that, then we can go through life, I believe, not feeling like we're on the outside of things, not feeling like we're in the group, but we're not getting everything. We're just tagging along. We just believe the reality that we're the beloved disciple.
Elise Antonello, you turned when we first started this section of the service, and when I looked at your eyes, I thought, I'm like an old teacher and I can see the student turn and look like, I hope nobody calls on me. God wants you to know that you are blessed. That's it, really, for the word. And it's like, you know that. There are times, sometimes that you don't feel that, but you know that you're blessed. But think about this, about being blessed. It's the same greeting that Mary got. Blessed are you among women. You have a blessing that's on you.
Yes.
A lot of times we think of that, and we think of how good God is and the graciousness of God, and we start thinking about, but I did this week, and this, and I just need to get in a place with God where I need to. He don't, man look at you, you look at yourself sometimes that way, but God don't look at you that way. Regardless of what you've gone through, regardless of what situation has happened with you, and you, most of the time we think like, oh, Lord, but I'm just ain't quite worried. I don't know, Lord, I don't. Because we're seeing it from our perspective, but God look at us from His perspective. Guess what? He loved each one of us the same. You know, a lot of times we be thinking, well, because Mama grows this, forget it. Because I'm in the same place you're in. I go through the same thing that you go through every day. I shed tears. My heart is hurting. Whatever the case may be, but when I lift up my eyes to the hill from which cometh my help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. Listen. And every time you say Jesus, and sometimes all we can do sometimes is just like, Lord, I just need help. And sometimes we say it to ourselves, we nobody here, but Lord, I just need help. And then we think God is not helping. But at that time, you're in your deepest place of God. He's holding. When your babies were small, little bitty babies, they couldn't do anything. He just held them. And when they start crying, whatever they, and guess what? You, each one of us in this, is I'm in that same place too. Now I'm in that place where I don't want to do nothing. I just want to But you know what? When I do that I'm releasing that to God, and I'm not trying to do it no more. But when I'm up running around, He tell me all the time, I want you to sit down and be still. I want you to just rest in Him. Resting in God is not what. When we rest with the natural. Is a whole different. It's different. Can be different. Sometimes listen. I do know this personally, that at my time in my life, now, I can, if you call me and ask me to do something, I'm going to be like, and the Holy Spirit is letting me know, I'm tired of you. Listen, it's not about me. It's not about how great I am, and it's great. Mother Gross, just whatever, she's flying around with angel way. When I do, I'm flying around in the Holy Spirit. Ain't got nothing to do with me. When I laugh and clap my head and stuff, you may not understand that, but at that point, I can't do. If you ask me for a cup of water, I could give it to you. I'm too tired to give you anything. So guess what? Jesus is okay, Bob. That, you did your part. Now He can step up and move for you. Sometimes we're looking to each other. Oh, I just love to be around and say, "Cause the saints go help me." The saints is tired too. But I will lift up my eyes. When I do this, and I lift up my eyes to the hill from which cometh my help, while I keep my hands up, if I put them down, I go down. I'm not going to do that. People may not understand. Whatever. I'm at that point now. All I want to do is do this. And as I do this, guess what? God, it's nobody in here that God don't love. He don't love me more. He love you, babies. Come on now. He just waiting for us. He waiting for us to come to the end of ourselves. Because you know who my biggest problem is? Bobby. Her name is Bobby. When I get ready to see something wrong in everybody else and can't see nothing wrong in me, guess who the problem? I am. I'm seeing stuff that's in me. When I don't understand you and talk about you and whatever, and see it, she need to, and then the Holy Spirit say, if you look in the mirror, you see yourself. Because you're talking about you. I'm my problem, always have been. Oh, but in this last few days, in a few days, I'll be 80. Guess what? I'm learning now how to live, Holy Spirit, live in that place. I'm sitting. You're sitting in heavenly places with me. And every time something, let me see, can I get up? I want you to sit and be still. Guess what? He ain't just saying that to me. It's to all of us. He's waiting on us. We say, well, we're just going to wait. After all, the Lord going to work after a while. No, he's working now. 24-7. And whatever level I'm on, you on, or whoever, whatever level you're on, God is there with you. Do you not know he loved you? It wouldn't be God if he loved me more than he do you. Come on now. But God love us. He just, you know what? This is what I'm working on. Stop trying to find fault with myself and what I need to do to be better or what I need to do to whatever, whatever. We don't need to. He's waiting on us to stop doing it and just be. Just be. You are the beloved. You are Jesus. It's no way I can even verbalize just how much he loves. He loves us, all of us. My name is not Great Bobby. My name is Bobby. And I'm learning how to spell it. B-O-B-B. And a lot of times I get it wrong. And then he said, raise that. No. Lowercase B. Capital B. In other words, I'm the same as you. I hurt like you. When people do stuff to me, the same, you know why I feel, why I can respond to you? Because I feel what you feel, because I'm there. If I had not experienced, I wouldn't be able to tell you anything.
Leadership quote for the day. There's a little calendar I have next to my bedside. I flip it every day. Like a leadership quote every day. It's not Christian. It's somewhat secular and Christian, but listen to this. The will to win is not nearly as important as the will to prepare to win. Let me say it again. The will to win is not nearly as important as the will to prepare to win. I get to play with this again today. Isn't this cool? Remember him? Remember hope? All right. Well, today, all right, Cassie, what's up? Oh, wait, I guess that helped. Let's turn it on, right? Yeah, let's turn it on. Let's turn it this way. Like that. And there it is. Is that the first one? Yes. Boom, there it goes. Okay. So now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the what? Mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Okay? So Moses goes up to the mountain, right? Next one. In the pillar of the cloud, he spoke to them. Okay? Exalt the Lord our God and worship him. Where? At his holy mountain. The psalmist went to the mountain this morning. In the New Testament, we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were what? With him on the holy mountain. Okay, we're going to the mountain this morning, right, Jane? Amen. So, and after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a what? A high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. Today, we celebrate the transfiguration, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. Okay, we're going to get back to that in just a minute. Before we go up to the mountain, I would like to touch base just about that long on the journey up the mountain. You see, Moses, God told Moses, let's go up to the mountain. And Joshua followed him. Okay, Jesus told Peter, James, and John, the scripture says, he led them up a high mountain. So Peter, James, and John, they were following Jesus. They were already following Jesus. And all of a sudden, Jesus led them to the mountain. So prior to having those mountaintop experiences like we all have to have, we first have to be following Jesus. We have to be real close and tight, as Father Don said this morning, personal with Jesus. And all of a sudden, when we're following Jesus' lead, all of a sudden, we end up on this journey of going up a mountain. Okay? And again, a lot of times we like to talk about mountaintop experiences, but the journey of getting to the mountain, on the other hand, can be a little, shall we say, a little less comfortable. Amen? It's like I don't know much about literal mountain climbing because I don't do it. Maybe that would be more of Father Mark's forte with actually climbing mountains. But I know from having followed Jesus that when you follow Jesus, He takes you places. Okay? And it really doesn't make sense sometimes where Jesus is taking you, but nevertheless, there's something inside of you that says, but I must continue to follow Jesus. There's just no getting out of it. Peter one time said, after Jesus had turned to his disciples and said, hey, are you fellows going to leave me too? After he had made it perfectly known to everyone that he was the bread of life, and that if no one ate of his body and drank of his blood, they couldn't be his disciple. And they turned to him, and Jesus says, so will you guys turn away from me too? And we all know what Peter says. Jesus, you speak the words of eternal life. Where else are we going to go? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a place where you have no idea what's going to be the next phase of what's about to take place in your life, but there's something inside of you that knows that you're headed somewhere else, and the only way you're going to get to quote-unquote somewhere else is that you have to follow the leadership of Jesus. Amen? And when you follow the leadership of Jesus, what happens is we get in situations going up to that mountain that we had no earthly idea was going to happen. I remember a movie with Nick Nolte. He was starring as it was really a Eastern Buddhist type thing, but there was a discipleship metaphor in that of which I thought was pretty cool. He took this kid up the mountain, and they had gotten all the way up to the high of the top of the mountain. He was standing there, and the kid goes, okay, we climbed all the way up this mountain. What is it that you wanted me to see? And the guy pointed down at a rock. And he said, but that's it? That's all you wanted me to see? And he said, well, you weren't complaining about that all the way up to here on the mountain. He said, as a matter of fact, you were quite satisfied. You were happy that you were anticipating something here on this mountain. The point was that he was anticipatory of what was about to happen on that mountain. Amen? Amen? Isn't there something when you follow Jesus, there's just an expectation that just says something is going to happen simply because I'm following Jesus and nothing else matters. It's like things start to fall away. It's like this doesn't impact me as much as it used to. This over here isn't doing what it used to anymore. This over here seems to be more of something that I'm interested in than it used to be. Okay, sweetheart, where's my video? Right here. Play it. Play the video. This comes after the video. All right. Keep going to the next one? Okay. All right. Yeah, check this out, guys. Is there any children? Yeah, we're good. It's a little rough, but
okay. 刀を下ろせ。下ろせ。
So I'm going to resist the temptation to go into the unstoppable spirit of Nathan. That's not where this is going. Where I wanted to go here on this particular script is I wanted that to be an illustration of a point I want to make. What was the purpose of the Lord calling everyone to the mountain? God has a purpose for us when He calls us to the mountain. Amen? Amen. I guess I'll be a youth minister all my life. That's what I'm talking about, girl. Go on and tell them. Amen. Check this out. Abraham, no unbelief made him waver concerning the what? The promise of God. Everyone say the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith and he gave glory to God. Everyone say glory to God. Wait, what happened to my stuff? Oh, there it is. All right. 5:2 from it there. Romans 5:2. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand and we rejoice in hope. Remember Superman? All right? In hope of the glory of God. One more scripture and I'll be done yelling out Romans. A very familiar one, Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So why was Moses going to the mountain? Why was Peter, James, and John headed to the mountain? Why did Jesus lead them to the mountain? Because God wanted to reveal His glory. Amen? God wanted us to experience and obtain and see. It was Peter that said, I saw it with my own eyes. I saw the glory of God transfigure right in front of me. I saw it with my own eyes. That is the purpose of the promises of God. God wants to be glorified, and He wants you on a front row seat to see it. And not only are you going to see it, look here, and this was from the last time, as I did a little study on the word transfigure. That little word, I'm not going to go into the elaboration of the study, but you see that little word fashion? Remember that during Advent? And found and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. And even during Advent, he gave up his kingly garments and came down as a baby. Y'all remember that one? That was a fashion. He was changing his garments. We talked about garments a lot. Okay, it's the same word used in being transformed, and he turned white as light where they couldn't even see him. The only thing they could do is fall down and worship. Okay, so let me touch base for about this long on what happens when we get to the top of the mountain. Let me get by the video. Okay, yeah. So we're on the mountain, and we experience the glory of God. Well, Peter, being the spokesperson that he is, kind of speaks for the moment. It is good that we are here. We've heard this a lot. We have arrived. This is comfortable. This is the place to be. And you know, here's the thing. Here's the thing about that too, is especially among Christians, we all seem to have differences there. I think we all have more in common on the journey to the mountain and even maybe from the mountain than we do actually on the mountain. For example, some people, when they hear or experience the glory of God, they hear it differently. Amen? It's like they certain people see things, other people hear things, other people experience things. That experience is different. But the one thing they had in common was that it was the glory of God that was being revealed. And so when those promises for each one of us are yes and amen, which they are, and those promises are obtained on the mountain, there was a purpose for God giving it to us. I'm going to look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. It's up there on the screen. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. You know, Tom Cruise, doesn't life feel like that most of the time? Come on, let me just sit down a minute. Let's talk about that video for a second. You know, life comes at you. Oh, by the way, what they got? What he said? Cassius said it out loud. Put down your sword. That's what he said. Now, see, let me give you a little context, and I won't stay here long. The context was Tom Cruise had been taken captive by the Japanese samurai who practiced the old ways of the samurai. And in Japan at the time, they were more emphasis on the emperor, and they were trying to develop a new politic in Japan. But these samurai did things differently. They did things radical. They didn't let go of principle. They didn't allow expediency to win the day over principle. Nathan is his character name, Tom Cruise. He was a captain in the United States Army during the Civil War. And in the beginning, like your stereotypical Tom Cruise movie, he's real cocky and real arrogant and real smug at people, smarting his mouth off. Long story short, he gets capped. He loses a battle because they had sent him in to take these samurai out, and they didn't win. Katsumoto, which is another main character of the movie, he's the captain. He takes him captive. So he takes him captive and they train him. Okay, the key word is training. Okay, that dude that showed up with the put down the sword, that was his master at arms. He was the guy, later on in the movie you discover, that trained the warriors. So Tom Cruise, being the cocky captain that he was, you can see that, he has his sword in hand. And this samurai comes to him and says, I need you to put down your sword. It wasn't, and here, I want to twist the plot a little bit. It wasn't about, I want to humiliate you in front of everybody. No, that's not what I want to say today. What I want to say today is, put down your sword. You see, we have a way of doing things that we have done, and we use it a lot. We use that sword, and we're very good at it. We're very good at our sword. After all, we're captain. We know what we're doing here. So this cocky samurai is not going to come up to me, and that cocky samurai, by the way, is going to be a metaphor of wisdom. Okay, wisdom has built her house. Amen? She's built her house. So when you hold your sword and when you come up against wisdom, wisdom is going to ask you to put down your sword. Okay? So wisdom, having built her house, disciplines us. No discipline. Let me say it again. For the moment, discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, okay, we'll get into later. But right now, wisdom doesn't seem to be pleasant. Especially when we're going up the holy mountain and we're thinking this way and God's ways, because that's why we're going to the mountain. Even in the song this morning, come, let's go up to the mountain so he can teach us what? His ways. The purpose for obtaining the promises of God is that God can teach us his ways. And his ways show up. And all of a sudden, he's a better sword fighter than we are. And I'm not saying that the trainer here is analogous of God bloodying our nose. Please understand that God is not the bad guy here. What I'm trying to say is that we have a sword of which needs to be renewed. Put down your sword. But instead, what are we doing? This is what we do. Mama, ain't this what we do? I got this. Life comes at you again. We're still reaching. Again, you have to sort of think, wow, but that's okay. It's okay. No, that's not where I'm going today, church. That's no longer the sword of the Lord. That's not the sword God wants us using anymore. As a matter of fact, I love the trainer. He picks up his sword off the ground, and I didn't think about this until just now. He chunks it to the child. Giving it to the child. Basically, the Apostle Paul, what was it he said? When I was a child, I thought as a child. I acted as a child. I did the things of a child. I didn't even hear that until just now. But when I became a man, I did away with childish things. That one just came to me. And he's just laying there. Okay? All right. So, yeah. Oh, yeah? Okay. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And we all, not just Moses, not just Peter, James, and John, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being what? Transformed into the same image from one degree of what? Glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. The reason for the mountaintop experience, again, God wants to give us his glory. And
Father Mark says this really good during Noonday Eucharist. Father, make us worthy to carry the anointing that you have for this church and the whole church and whatever it is, the purpose and the plans that you have for this church. God, make us worthy to carry that anointing. God gives us the glory on the mountain so we can carry that same glory down the mountain. Peter, we can't stay here, brother. It would be good if we could stay on the mountain and stay glorious. But Jesus says, no, we've got to take that glory and we've got to take it down the mountain. There's a prophetic word that's out there in certain circles. And I think Father Mark has touched on this in times past. Of the seven mountain prophecy. Is anyone besides me familiar with the seven mountain prophecy about the seven mountains of culture? Have you guys heard about the seven mountains of culture? Yeah, I kind of got that. You know, I kind of grafted that, and that was pretty cool about how about the high places having to be taken and how the glory that needs to be revealed on those high places are taken out into the world. I don't have to elaborate on that today, but I will say that the purpose and the plan for us going to the mountain is because God wants to reveal His glory. He wants us to take that glory. And today's message, I would like to think, is He wants to give us a new sword. All right, I'm going to put that right there. All right, moving on. Check this out. Y'all don't have to read that. I was intending to put this in my notes, but I was reading a Graham Cook book one day, and I read something that spoke to me. Don't you love it when you read something and it just goes right to you? It's just like, wow, how did he know? He read my mail. That happens here in church all the time, but when it happens Monday through Friday, That's miraculous also. So I'm reading a Graham Cook book, right? And I got this. And I thought during this sermon and for this church, I wanted to read this because I believe the Lord wants you to get this too, okay? All right, check this out. I'm going to read it out loud. You can follow along or just listen. This is the time for new beginnings. I'm not going to tell you anything you haven't already heard. Okay, the reset button has been hit. I am promoting you in the Spirit. I am drawing you up to a new place of encounter. I love this. As a foot soldier, you have fought well. You have tasted the sweetness of victory and the ashes of defeat. There's Tom Cruise right there. You have learned to stand and press in. That's what you have to respect. He's reaching for that sword, ain't he? You understand the importance of remaining fresh. You are able to refuse weariness. Oh, as I said, remember when he was being whacked, it's like that doesn't that seem like the majority of the time? Graham Cook goes on to say, you have learned to refuse weariness. You have overcome the spirit of heaviness. Who's felt heavy up in the house? You have overcome the spirit of heaviness that was against you on this level. Now I am calling you up to a new place of overcoming. I am calling you to walk in the way of the warrior, to rise up into a place of abundance and provision that will provide you with rich encounters with me on the battlefields of life. Now we're coming down the mountain. The battlefields of life are on the bottom of that mountain. In this season of preparation and rearming. How do you like that one? Rearming. It's not like you're not equipped, as the bishop teaches. We have every spiritual blessing that's in Christ Jesus. Amen? We're fully armed. Rearmed. You must learn the last remains of mediocrity behind. There's that sword again. Leave mediocrity behind. where I am taking you, you cannot have smallness of mind. Indeed, you must renew your mind just to enter into this new place. This new season is about stepping away out of your circumstances and in a new place of Christ. Again, we've heard this many, many times before. You do not live in your circumstances. You live in me. Now, and this is where I'm going to take off a little bit further here. Now you discover the awesome permission that means for you, dot, 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 in my intention. Here's the deal, guys. God's intention for you is extraordinary. If we, as Father Don said today so beautifully, if we were just to get a glimpse of the intentions God has for us, as opposed to the intentions that everything else seems to have for us. God's intention for me is good. It is so good. He is not the bad guy. There are so many people out there, I believe, that have perceived God as being this unintentional God, that God is somehow to blame for everything. No, quite. When life is dealing you at the shin, God's intention for you is a new sword. He's training you. Check this out, and I'll stop here. He's training you to co-rule with him. This was one from the, let me read this, and then the next one is where I really wanted to go. There is a wisdom from God, speaking of wisdom and the trainer, that causes governments to function correctly here on earth, okay? Again, God's ways can be practiced, and they can be successful now. There is a creativity from him that outshines all other forms of distorted creativity. The intentions of God are much better than the intentions of man modeled in the world. God has an economic structure and plan that can work here on earth. Well, how do you know? Well, really, I don't, because we haven't. How would we know? We haven't done it. We keep doing the same other thing over and over again, and we expect another result. What if we did it that way? And what's the glory of God? What if we followed Jesus up the mountain and saw him and brought it back down the mountain? Okay. I'm going to go off on a little bit of a rabbit trail here, but I'm going to bring it to a close. Prior to Christ's return, here's those mountains I was telling you about. His kingdom will be intermingled with the world's culture. That's a fact. We don't see it because we're not like, no. But his followers will be growing in character and proving their readiness to rule. Hi. I'm going, yeah, here's the thing. Here's what gets me out of bed in the morning now. And I'm serious when I say this. When Jesus comes back, I want to be found faithful. Because that's what he said. Will I find faith on the earth? That's it. That's the ACT of the kingdom of God when it comes to Jesus' return. Will I find faith? Will I have grown in character and proven my readiness? When wisdom comes up to me and takes me out at the shins and I'm laying on the ground grappling for the sword that I've been hanging on to for so long. Why, God? Because I want you to get closer to me. I have a rule that I want to establish. A friend told me, God is always speaking. God is always speaking. But we have to be listening. We have to be listening. That's what Jesus said. That's what God told the disciples today on the mountain. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Through adversity and opportunity. Well, praise God. Praise God. In the midst, this is Einstein speaking of some more secular quips. In the midst of difficulty lies opportunity. As well as in the artistic and cultural accomplishments, they will be groomed, there's that fashion again, for their leadership roles in Christ's eternal kingdom. I believe that. I believe Jesus is coming. I believe he's here right now in every single one of us. I believe the world's going to open their eyes one day, are going to say, oh my gosh, there's Jesus. From the glory of God, from God's people. Their society transforming creative skills. There's that word. Transformation. Jesus was transformed and said, see this? Come on, boys. Let's go transform the rest of them. Come on! I'm excited, man. This gets me out of bed in the morning. You're going to co-rule with Jesus Christ now and forever. It's a done deal. Your gifts, your stewardship. I'm going, let me go into it. Wait. It was right there. We will become the stewards, the managers of the world's wealth and accomplishments. But I don't have this. I don't have that. God hasn't given me this or that. Guess what? You will prepare yourself. You will. Whatever it is God has gifted you with, out of his spirit, birthed out of his spirit, he will delegate for you to do both now and forever. When you fall in love with Jesus and you realize who you are in Christ as a creative human being, being different and beautiful and who you are and what your gifts are and what your talents are and what your skills are, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, you're just in Christ. You get to that place where you're just like, here I am, Lord. Just tell me whatever to do. I'll mop the kingdom floor. I'll preach the sermon. I'll serve the table. I'll iron the sheets. I'll train the boys in war. Oh, that'd be so much fun. Come here, boy. Woo, yeah. Who's to say there's not going to be a bunch of boys playing with wooden swords in the kingdom? Oh, anyway, I'm going all. I'm getting crazy now. All right, I'm done. Service is a reward, not a punishment. See, we live in a. Here in the West, we think. I've run into this so many times in the last, even among Christian non-for-profits. And again, I'm on a fireside now. Maybe I should hush, but. It's just like a lot of people spend a lot of time encouraging you not to do something. It's just really weird how people will actually put more effort into not doing something than just doing it. Anyway, this idea is foreign to people who dislike their work. Okay, I get that. Quitting your day job, we all know this. It's a cliche now that you do what you love to do. Oh, that's not my calling. Oh. So you're going to leave it to these guys to do while you think you're going to get to... Amen. All right, going off on a trail there. We think that faithful work should be rewarded by a vacation for the rest of our lives. God offers us something very different. Very different. More work. More responsibilities. increased opportunities, greater abilities, resources, wisdom, empowerment. You want to be rich. You want to be glorious. You want to be wealthy. You want to be strong. Follow Jesus to the mountain and let him transform you. And then go back down the mountain with that glory and trust him to supply all of these needs. We will have sharp minds, strong bodies, clear purpose, unabated joy. Father Mark continues to preach, what if this is true? What if laying hands on somebody and they're falling down on their face, crying their eyes out, going, oh my God, what was that? We're standing there going, it was the glory of God. That's what that was. I've been on the mountain and I've experienced who Jesus is, and I can't keep it to myself. I've got to tell you the good news of the glory of God that came from the mountain. And it's not supposed to stay on the mountain. It's supposed to increase his government. And that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. Everything around me screams, you're out of your mind. We're slaying our offspring. What makes you think that Jesus is ruling and reigning? Oh, he's laughing. Well, he's ruling, and he wants to rule through you. In the name of the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.